Welcome back to The Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation, where we explore key issues and compelling stories in the trucking industry. I'm your host, Dayton Rumbold, and you're listening to episode 125, Top Issues in Trucking, Hiring with Integrity for Success. Have you ever asked for one thing and got another? Maybe ordered a burger but got a chicken sandwich? One of the issues in trucking is the infamous bait and switch in recruiting. Today I chat with Caleb Gee and Joe Anderson how they work to maintain integrity in all situations, what they look for in hiring drivers, and what is our Python ride-along policy again? You're not going to want to miss this featured exchange. Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. Today we're back with another episode of Top Issues in Trucking. So we're digging deep. We're looking through all the bad reviews on the internet and trying to find out what are those friction points that we have. And I'm here today. We're talking about recruiting, a very interesting topic. You hear it sometimes. Someone was bait and switched into their job, or the different things that happen that a recruiter might lead someone on to believing the company something different. So I'm here with two of our recruiters, and you can say a little bit about who you are and your title and what you do at Nussbaum. So Joe and Caleb, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
I made sure to let Caleb say thanks for having us first. The last time we always say it at the exact same time.
Thanks for having us. In unison. You know, it makes you guys a good combo.
Yeah, synchronized speaking.
You work very closely together, I hear. You're even back to back. Your cubicles.
Three feet.
Yep. 3 feet too close, some might say.
some have said. It feels right.
Or what do they say? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
So what are your roles? What do you do here at Nussbaum?
So, yeah, we're both in the recruiting department, specifically recruiting director. And really what that entails at this point is just trying to be there if Caleb, CJ, or Lisa, they're all the driver hiring managers. And if they need me for something, that's kind of what I hope to be there for, but they really don't very often. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of the day-to-day stuff that I don't get too involved in anymore, but maybe bigger picture stuff and communications between other departments and trying to, there's a lot of data tracking.
Yeah.
Where are our drivers coming from? What sources are we hiring them from? Mm-hmm. It's good to know that. And then advertising decisions. Do we want to be spending money? Caleb does a lot more of the in the weed stuff. So I'll let him take it from there.
But you started off as?
Yeah. So I've been in recruiting for 10 years,
wow.
I think, at this point.
That's
and
awesome.
And most of that time, yeah, a lot of the time was recruiting, I mean, actually hiring drivers. So I haven't physically hired a driver in a few years, but that's still a good majority of my time in the department. So still can pull from a little bit of that experience.
And I feel that there is a lot of data because sometimes I walk past your desk and you're like typing like so fast.
Yeah.
And just there's so much that comes in when you're trying to sort out hiring that there's a lot of that admin work that has to be done.
Yeah.
So
yeah, a lot of it, if we can know like specifically just where our hires are coming from, then that can enable us to know how to plan for future months. Like if we know that we're getting a lot of hires from our other drivers, referrals, mm-hmm. organic leads where we're not paying anything. Well, mm-hmm. looking to the next month, we know that, okay, we probably don't really need to spend too much money on ads.
Yeah.
Specifically, we haven't spent any money on ads for our system drivers in over a year now.
Wow.
And that's for multiple reasons, but that's one reason to track that kind of data is just to help plan for the future.
Yeah, and knowing what people we have on our network in different areas. So when someone leaves in Texas, you know, okay, we're looking for, or
right.
maybe.
That's a big part of it too.
Yeah.
Just knowing, and Power BI, the mm-hmm. software that we've been using for a while has been a game changer as far as taking a lot off of like spreadsheets and stuff. A lot of manual work has been removed, so that's been really nice. But yeah, that's a big part of it. Just knowing where our drivers are and where we need them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
And then Caleb, what about you?
Yeah, so my title is a senior driver hiring manager. So I used to be a senior recruiter, but we kind of like changed the name a little bit. And like Joe said, yeah, I still hire drivers. Mm-hmm. I still do some, like basically if CJ or Lisa has somebody that is, we get a lot of people that are black and white, mm-hmm. they're still hireable, mm-hmm. but maybe a kind of a gray area, sure. like should we or should we not? Sure. So helping out with just a second set of eyes on some of those sometimes on mm-hmm. like, and they're very good at a lot of those on their own, but maybe here's a weird one. Hey, can you look at this just to get another set of eyes on
yeah.
it? So some of that. And then, like you said, we were just joking this morning because, yeah, I hear Joe back. Joe's probably like top three fastest typers in the company. So he was here, ticket,
back 8 years ago.
Just know he's going to town.
You walk by, you get hit by a key. Ow.
Exactly. So, and it's great. I think, probably a year and a half ago, we did a bunch of the like disc assessments and stuff. Mm. And we have like every different personality in our department.
Really?
In our four people.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Like we hit them all. And so the stuff he does is instrumental to what we do hiring drivers, but it's all the stuff that like I personally would not want to do all the stuff Joe does.
Sure.
He does a great job at
yeah.
it. And I think you probably enjoy that stuff mm-hmm. more.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's just a great balance across the whole group of personality types and getting it done together, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have some variety in their work, but like to be a really good DHM, you have to be able to get right back into it. Mm-hmm. Like you might spend hours with one driver, days maybe mm-hmm. on and off to lock down a job. And then as soon as you hopefully hire a good driver, you got to be willing to take that next phone call. And that mm-hmm. could be another hour long phone call. So you really have to be able to just back at it over and over again. And there can be some variety in that, but they're specifically really good at that. Whereas, yeah, I can get burned out on that pretty easy, and I like having a little bit more of the variety.
Mm.
So it does seem like it's been a pretty good balance.
Yeah,
I'm probably like low three fastest typers of the company.
So. No, we do typing tests every now and then. So we like to,
do you?
It's just fun.
Within the department?
There's a lot of people that type a lot faster than me, though. Okay. There's actually a Teams group. It hasn't been used in months. But people were posting their test results in it for a while. Jared.
Tired of typing.
Yeah, Jared, James Greer out in the shop, really fast. Livy Stoller. There's a lot of them.
Wow.
There's a lot of the ops folks.
That's pretty cool. What's your words per minute?
So, like, all the tests are different. Like,
sure.
Some of them are easier, but maybe around 100 usually.
Okay. Wow.
So, nothing. I can't type 100 words per minute if I'm, like, typing an email.
Sure.
It's just a set test where it's just, like, easy words
right.
with no, you know, punctuation or anything.
Sure.
So. Humble, too.
No.
Hey, that's probably 50 more faster than me, so.
Oh, man.
That's good. Awesome. So fill us in a little bit about your life outside of work. What do you like to do? And then before trucking, what did you do before trucking? So outside of work and before work, what did you do?
Sure. You want me to go first? Okay. Outside of work, I've got a bunch of kids at home, so I spend a lot of time with them, with my wife. Besides that, I think one of my favorite things to do is at night when we all get together. Typically, we try it when we're putting them to bed. We read to them. So mm-hmm. we're trying to do a little bit of the Bible, and then we also do whatever, maybe a fiction book or something.
Yeah.
So that's probably my favorite part of the day just because everybody's winded down, like it's peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to use your imagination with the book and everything too. So that would be that.
Hmm.
Outside of that, I don't have a ton of time for hobbies. So pickleball, some of those things
kids.
Here would be the
yeah,
hobbies.
Seven
yeah.
kids.
Before the trucking industry, so my background was all construction.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So tons of really a little bit of everything. But I work for a custom builder. A lot of the people actually here might. So, Knapp, custom mm-hmm. Custom builders. So,
oh, really? You worked for Knapp?
Yep.
Knapp Builders.
So I worked for him for a while.
Wow.
Did some various other construction jobs. Had my own roofing company for a little while. And then,
what?
Yeah. So kind of went more to the exteriors route.
Sure.
And then ended up, after closing that, working for a company just doing sales.
Mm-hmm.
And one day saw, I grew up in Hudson. I'm like, man, that's just really nice,
mm-hmm.
really nice building off the interstate there. I wonder what they are. Was looking for a job at the time and called in and, yeah.
Baby.
Rest is history. Mm-hmm. Baby. Here we are.
He texted me first.
It's true.
He came through our driver pipeline.
Oh, really?
So a couple texts in, we realized he wasn't looking for a driving position, but it's just kind of funny.
Years later, looking at the notes he had put in there for me on the thing, said things about like my voice being handsome and stuff.
It seems like an A-plus handsome.
Not a driver, but probably could be a good one.
Definitely got to get this guy.
I actually went back in years later and like put my own notes in there like it was Joe. So like, guys, what is this? So, but awesome. Yeah, that sums it up for me.
Yeah, what about you, Joe?
Outside of work, you can usually find me, I don't know, volunteering my time, donating a lot of money to people. I'm just very
opening soup kitchens every night.
No, I'm probably way too selfish with my time. Really, so yeah, I mean, got married to Sage a little mm-hmm. over 2 years ago, and we have a 1-year-old now. So that's definitely.
Yeah.
I don't have seven, but it still is pretty much 100% of the time.
That's great.
It's full. Yeah.
So, yeah. We got a house project going on right now, so our mm-hmm. life's a little bit chaotic. The upstairs, which was Teddy's room, is completely, you know, down to the bones. And well, they got drywall on now, but it's just mm-hmm. spent construction for the last 2 weeks. So
oh, wow.
Teddy's been in our room downstairs. We've been sleeping on a mattress in the living room. So it's just been a little bit. It's been fun. It's gone gone well, but
yeah.
That's been life for the last few weeks. As far as trucking industry, I came here right out of high school, mm-hmm. actually. So I did not plan. I always planned to go to college. I just mm-hmm. wasn't very driven at all, and so I had no idea what I wanted to do, didn't really feel like even trying to figure it out.
Sure.
And I feel very, very thankful now, looking back, to have been able to start working here.
Yep.
At the time, I viewed it as, oh, it's kind of a neat, you know, neat place, nice people. I know a few of them. We were much smaller then. And then, you know, now it's like, wow, I was really blessed to be given that opportunity and didn't appreciate it for what it was for probably the first 6 years I worked here.
Yeah.
I obviously very much liked Nussbaum, but just didn't really realize how good of a place I'd been able to start with. So.
Makes sense.
But yeah, so that's been pretty much my only professional experience.
Yeah, but now 10 years, right? You said 10 years?
12 years.
12 yep. years. Yep.
10 in the recruiting department.
Yeah, wow. And I think that is something to say too. It's like, yeah, like to have 12 years experience, I mean, you know your stuff and what you're doing. So I think that...
Debatable.
I think it's impressive. Yeah.
I started in accounting and I didn't know my stuff very well there. So that's why I ended up in HR and recruiting.
Someone got one too many zeros on their paycheck. Yeah,
exactly.
No.
It was me.
No. That did not happen. Yeah. Oh, that was cool. Thanks for answering that. And then something else that you guys do outside of work or a side project that you have put your heads together on is... Truck Driver's Best. Could you explain just briefly what is Truck Driver's Best?
You want me or you take it?
Yeah, go for it.
So Caleb had the idea a few years back. So we've been in recruiting at this point for, you know, 6 years together or so a few years ago. And he just started realizing there's a lot of talk about driver turnover and mm-hmm. what companies can do to better retain their drivers. There's conferences every year you can go to. There's just a lot of networking that happens and strategies and... But mostly on the company side of things, that's where the focus is. So he thought, you know, no one's really helping the drivers. Mm-hmm. So is that kind of something that's being missed? So that was kind of the catalyst. And we just, since then, you know, after that point, we started realizing more and more how many situations there were every day just in our jobs that we would see drivers make misguided decisions or really decisions where they didn't have any guidance on. They hadn't been trained, didn't really have anybody in their corner helping them, coaching them. So it made us realize, like, is there an opportunity there to actually help coach drivers to navigate this industry better? Because if drivers are more informed up front, they're not even going to go to carriers that they shouldn't be going to, that aren't good carriers, that aren't good fits for them. And if they're making those decisions right on the front end, then there's going to be less need for them to move around. You know, it might cause carriers that aren't that great to go out of business because they won't be the hire drivers because they're doing their research.
Yeah.
And at the very least, it should lower turnover because more drivers are just putting the work in up front, finding companies they can stick with.
Yeah.
So that, in a nutshell, we're trying, the name Truck Driver's Best implies we have their best interests at heart. Like we want them to have the best career possible, be the best version of a truck driver they can be, because there's so much potential as a truck driver. The average person might not realize that, but I mean, you can make six figures, you can have really good benefits, you can just be very successful if handled right.
Yeah.
But we've seen too many not handle it right, and it's sad to see them make the sacrifice of being willing to be out on the road all the time and give up, you know, that time at home. That's a lot.
Yeah.
To do that and then not be able to capitalize on all the potential there is, is sad to see.
Yeah.
So we're kind of trying to help that and then simultaneously think it could lower turnover. But
yeah.
it's it's definitely just a side effort. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, if you really want to make something of it, you really got to put in a lot of effort. And quite frankly, we're here a lot of the day. Mm-hmm. We love being here. We love being with our families. So it's kind of hard to find that time to really go into it too much. But yeah, we wrote a little book that's online drivers can purchase. We're available to talk, you know, take phone calls, mm-hmm. consulting, coaching, whatever you want to call it. So it's, yeah, I don't know anything add to that.
Yeah, no, I think that's good.
Take
that's,
away from it.
Yeah, there's been enough people, like consultants, that were, you can go, all the money is going after trucking companies to coach mm-hmm. them, right? So great, you know, you could go to a trucking company and they're happy to throw 10 grand at you when that's what they're paying per hire. So nobody was focused on the driver. And so, yeah, it's that, you know, how do we get enough awareness there? How do we help enough drivers to make a difference? Mm-hmm. And truck drivers best, we figured, sounds really great if we want to start a coffee line, too.
Yeah. how does that work?
I don't know. Yeah.
He's the idea
Somebody
guy.
To grind
yeah.
is
yeah. his
yeah.
idea. We also thought if someone's just, like Googling, mm-hmm. like, best trucking companies or best,
yeah.
you know, maybe truck drivers best comes
right.
up and they find us.
Yeah. I love that picture so. You painted, though, of, like, you being a fighter for the drivers, just like a boxing ring, like you're mm-hmm. over there in the corner, like, you know, it's like, oh, you got this.
Yeah.
Like, get in
yeah.
there,
yeah.
go after it.
And they just, yeah, they didn't have that. I mean, I shouldn't say they don't. I think there's probably some smaller cases where people are trying to do that. Or, you know, maybe somebody has a brother mm-hmm. or a dad or an uncle that drove and yeah. it's kind of giving them a little advice, but probably yep. not that intentional.
Yep.
And we offer what I would say is unique perspective of what recruiting departments look yep. for, what good companies look for, hmm. how good it can be at a good company, whereas a lot of drivers are trying to help drivers.
Sure.
They know what it's like to drive and be out over the road. We're not pretending to give advice on that,
hmm.
but they don't really know what it's like to be on the office and what just how to present yourself in an interview,
yeah.
how to research, how to think through decisions, what are the ramifications of those choices you make.
And to really capitalize on being a driver, I think you
exactly.
mentioned that too.
Yep.
Like get all the benefits
yep.
that you deserve for being missing that home time or you
exactly.
know being on the road is a sacrifice.
Yep.
And so making sure you're getting out of it what you put in.
Yeah.
And as I was reading bad reviews, I saw some where they said, oh, there's something in their contract where after 30 days, if you leave the company, then they'll subtract $2,000 out of your paycheck or like stuff like that,
okay.
where there's all these little fine print things. So your take home pay was a lot less than you were expecting.
Sure.
Or stuff like
yep.
that. So
yep. That's funny. It's like the opposite of what we do.
Yeah.
With our early exit option.
Yeah, we'll give
yeah.
you money.
So.
Yeah. The well, and that's been one thing, kind of a headwind that we've been looking at is whether somebody's a brand new driver or been driving for 20 years, 25 years, whatever, is it's getting somebody to recognize that, hey, this is something that could help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've talked about, you know, there has been some pushback to like, well, no, I know what I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
but your resume doesn't show that.
Mm-hmm.
So is it something we go even more niche with, where niche, however you say it?
Niche.
yeah, cut that out. And just go after new students that mm-hmm. are fresh out of school because maybe they'd be a little more open to hearing some of these things before they jump into a couple situations
mm-hmm.
that they're not going to like.
Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Either way, sounds like a great opportunity and something you can really serve people in. So
hopefully.
It's awesome.
Yep. Thanks.
Truck Driver's Best. You can check it out. So before we get into the serious stuff, I wanted to have a little bit of fun. And if you remember an unusual or memorable experience you've had during recruiting, either as a recruiter or a candidate. So if you could think back to those times being candidate or recruiter, any unusual experiences that you have, is there any that
there's
come
to a
mind?
Lot, yeah. There's a lot. It's just
do you have any from the candidate side? That's an interesting
from the candidate side.
Do you yeah. mean like when you're applying
for a job
or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. My only real experience was with Lloyd Stoller. He was basically Jeremy, or I mean maybe Rick now technically at mm-hmm. that time, and
Yeah, it was a little bit different of a higher structure at that point. Like, if I interviewed today, I probably if I interviewed today as I was back then, I probably wouldn't have gotten hired. Would
you
be
think?
My guess. I mean, Lloyd was pretty easy going on me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have too much from that. I get one memory that comes to mind on the recruiting side is, and this is one thing we would like to coach drivers on, is how to not be. But I've literally had a driver tell me that he was the golden egg of trucking. He's like, you know that goose? He's like, you know that goose that laid the golden egg or whatever? And I was like, yes. He's like, well, that's me. I was like, okay. I think that conversation probably ended like 2 minutes later. I don't know, maybe he was joking, but it felt pretty serious, and like just getting a little bit of that sense of the arrogance up front was just kind of like, that's not necessarily the character personality we're looking for.
Right.
But that I'll never forget that one. Like, why would you ever say that?
Interesting analogy. It's like maybe some people say the golden goose, but they say that you're the golden egg.
He was the actual egg, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
No, that's
maybe
great.
Over the years I've misconstrued that.
No, I trust that. And that's funny. I can't believe
maybe he had it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get a I'm trying to think of something specific, but we get a bunch. I was actually talking to a guy the other day, kind of for a truck driver's best deal, that it's like, you know, he could tell you everything wrong with the industry, but it's like, okay, I'm trying to help you. Like, here's some things to look out of this. But it's like, I don't even know if I want, like, trying to make up his mind on whether I want to be a driver or maybe I'll be a recruiter because I'll fix the industry that way. And it's like, you probably won't. Whatever company you work for, they're going to tell you what to do.
Sure.
But just the day-to-day, we get everything from, like, very inappropriate things to people that are like, hey, what's your home time? You know, I need to be home. I need to be home daily. Well, all we have is weekly. Okay, well, what do you pay? Like, wait, no, like, this isn't going to work. You know, it doesn't matter.
You just told us you won't be happy at our company because of our home time, and yet you're still going to consider us.
Right.
Like, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah.
So just weird stuff like that all the time where and I think the best, probably a shout out to Cole Zeller. We get every now and then a random voicemail or something, and it's a fake voice that you're like, oh, this is Cole impersonating somebody or asking a silly question about.
Let's just say Cole and Thad could go rounds with their impressions.
Yeah.
So Cole Zeller would call.
Since leaving Newsbomb, that will call in sometimes. And
will he really?
Asking about if he can bring his pet python. We've gotten that. I mean, you get all sorts of pets, like cougars. What's his name?
Wait, what?
Yeah, there was a guy that worked here that wanted to bring his cougar. I think it was a cougar.
He had a cougar?
He said he did. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't want to say his name, but we'll talk about it after. But, yeah, weird pets that people have in the truck and other things that you're like,
there's been conversation where all of a sudden you hear the toilet flush in the background.
And
it's like, okay, maybe we could wrap this up a little later.
Yeah.
Or voicemails that trail off, like they left a voicemail and then didn't hang up. And then you're like, what is happening in the background? all sorts of things.
A lot of things
it's
that
something.
Make you go, hmm.
Yeah, make you go, huh. And we share them right when they happen. We should be keeping a list of these.
Yeah, Tian always said that. I think Tian would say that for years. Like, got to write this stuff down.
Yeah,
never actually did. But
yeah, that's good. Well, you started writing down some memories and putting that into truck driver's best. Advice, at least.
Yep.
So with the topic at hand, I have a couple. I dug up what I could of bad reviews. Tried to point out what are the things that deal with recruiting. So we can summarize some of these and talk about the themes that they bring up. So this is the first one I have. The recruiter I was dealing with was no help. And sorry, before I get into this, I do want to mention that all bad reviews, all reviews in general, are one-sided. You're not getting the full picture. So I don't want to make light of these reviews. We have our own one-star reviews, so I don't want to just toss it around. But our heart behind this is just to talk about the theme behind it. What are the friction points? What are the pain points in trucking? The top issues in mind when someone looks at joining a trucking company, being a truck driver, what are the things that make it difficult?
Makes
so
sense.
this is just to help start conversation. And for me personally, I love reading one-star reviews, just of anything, McDonald's, or because I think they're funny. Yeah, exactly. So that kind of inspired this idea to bring it about. So I wanted to add a disclaimer there to this. So, all right, first one. The recruiter I was dealing with was no help. It just felt like she was forced to talk to me. I couldn't reach her for weeks. Every time I called, she wasn't there. And they tried multiple times. And so I think one of the themes you see from this is she was forced to talk to me. I think that's a interesting one. Mm-hmm. Is there how do you feel about that? Are you always delighted? What is your attitude on the phone?
I read something like that and think, again, on the whole picture side. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are going to have that, especially at, like, some of these large companies where, you know, they have 40 recruiters across 30 different locations and all this. You're going to get some of that. I also think on the driver side, excuse me, you'll get somebody like that example we just talked about, hey, we don't have, you know, the home time you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to either forget they talked to you, or they're going to want more information because they want to use that at another company. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to keep calling you. Well, now this is at a point, like, I've told you twice, maybe three times, I'm not going to hire you. This isn't going to work. And now it's okay. Like, we've had people even before that, like, I've turned you down. Okay. So they call back two or three other times trying to get somebody else to talk to. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, now I can talk to somebody else and they'll let me in the door. Well, the notes are there. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes in situations like this, you get, excuse me, it's, no, you're being avoided because the information has already been told to you. There's nothing else that person can do to help you, but you're pushing the topic for whatever reason, even though you know it's not going to work out. And that might not be the deal here, but that certainly can happen.
Yeah, that's a side of it that could happen.
Potentially,
they have the information already.
Obviously, there's people that don't. There are just bad employees. I mean, like the McDonald's thing. I mean, you can go to McDonald's and have a really good experience just if the person's somewhat cheerful and smiles.
Right.
And thanks for coming. Or they can basically say minimal words, just hand you your food.
Fries are cold.
Just, yeah. So, like, those little things can be the difference between someone saying, like, man, I really want to leave them a nice 5-star review.
Yeah.
Or just not reviewing them or maybe giving a low review.
Yeah.
So, like, this person, you know, that maybe that recruiter was just not very good or just didn't care, you know. Or... that's the crazy thing. So many situations, we build up these stories in our mind, and there's, like, just little things that can be unknown that would make all the difference. So, like, maybe she was literally on vacation for 2 weeks.
Sure.
And then she got back and makes a bunch of catch-up calls.
Yep.
One call goes to this lady, and she misses it. And so she really did call her back, but she missed that call because she's probably talking to 10 other companies at the same time.
Yeah.
But in her mind, it's still, this lady is not getting back to me. And it's just little things can build up. It's like, man, if you just knew the other side, it wouldn't be this, you wouldn't be this upset. But as a driver, calling a bunch of companies, it's all over the phone. A lot of it, you don't you don't know them. You feel, it's just hard. I mean,
even just tough.
A job search in general, you don't feel super in control, or it's probably a little bit more of an insecure time.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some of that. So it's, like you said, trying to, I mean, not make fun or just write it off as completely bogus. But
It's like, regardless, this person had a negative experience.
Their perspective of what happened was bad.
Which is important.
Was negative,
regardless of if it's totally valid or not.
And, but at the same time, like, how can we consider the whole situation? And I have my own negative experiences, and then but trying to think, like, okay, what is the scenario that, you know, they were doing everything in their best to help out.
Yeah. And maybe to the heart of what you're going for, like in our department, I mean, we're not perfect, but I think we do a pretty good job if someone is out and we get a call for that person, hey, this driver just called in, we'd like to speak to Caleb. Caleb's out. CJ takes the call. He's gonna mark that down, send Caleb an email, note it somewhere. Like, we're going to, like, Caleb's going to know about it and have that opportunity to get back to him. Or
if CJ knows Caleb's out for a week, then CJ might just say, hey, actually, I can help you. Caleb's gone for a week. I would love to work with you and help you. Mm. So I do think we can impact people in those situations pretty well. Again, not perfect.
Right.
And in really busy times, if we're growing, I mean, the phone volume, it can be crazy. Mm. And we can't get back to everybody. So sometimes someone might have to call a few times before it becomes top of mind. I mean, it can just get pretty crazy at times.
I think you brought out some good points. And the trucking industry is just busy. It's just a kind of a whirlwind at times. And
at times, for sure.
In the right season, it can be a really busy time and communication can be hard. And I think that's one of the things that this review was talking about was it was really hard to communicate with my recruiter. And we're not perfect. We're not always going to be able to be responsive. But that is something to be aware of just in trucking. Like, how can I be that prompt and remember things? And
Well, and I think to put a little data behind that, before, our last, like, big growth cycle leading up to 2023, I think in 2022 the numbers were, I think just here at Nussbaum alone that year, 2022, I think we went through 17,000 leads.
17,000.
Which is just leads, so that's not even phone calls or emails or... Yeah.
But all of the 17,000 people are not getting callbacks.
Yeah.
You might be in the wrong area. You might have put, you know, I did drugs 2 years ago on your app. Like, you might, you know, whatever that is. So, yeah, to your point,
it can be really high volume.
Yeah.
Times.
Wow. A few people trying to reach out to 17,000 people. It's not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing that if we were trying to coach somebody on the truck driver's best side of things, I would encourage drivers to really pay attention to the hours you're calling into. I mean, she said during business days, so she's obviously kind of paying attention to that, but don't call in at 4. Like, look up the company's hours. A lot of that's available online. If they're closing at 4:30, maybe don't call at 4:25 expecting to talk for a half hour.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get their voicemail, and it's like, well, who knows what they had to get out the door for that night and couldn't, you know. Again, it's trying to understand that other side without really knowing the other side quite yet. Mm-hmm. But
there's some grace in making sure, being considerate of when you're calling in.
Little grace can go a long ways.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, these are just random ones, right? Or are these Nussbaum?
These are not Nussbaum ones. These are just other companies. Or I looked up Driver Reach. Or this is from Truckers Report. Reviews from Truckers Report.
Okay, awesome.
This is a funny one. It is, you're better off driving a Mayfield ice cream truck than this company. Well, I don't know what's so bad with the ice
cream
truck.
Worst place ever.
Worst
part. There's a lot that could have led to that.
Like, not sure what happened.
Well, and I'm not sure, like we said this earlier, I don't really know what's, like, why use an ice cream truck as the, like, the comparative thing. Is that so bad? It doesn't seem like that would be the
Sounds
worst
like
thing.
Good deal to me.
Yeah.
I'd weigh 400 pounds.
You know, someone gets hurt feelings, though, like whether right or wrong, it feels good to go lash out online.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
And we've had people give us bad reviews where they apologize later. Mm. Or maybe they even ask to come back later. They've left us, they're upset, and then 6 months later they realize, okay, you know, Nussbaum actually did treat me pretty well. And they call to come back, and they might own that. Mm. I was frustrated, I was mad. Sometimes that's the only thing you can do in the moment to get something back or to feel good is to post that.
Yeah.
So, like, who knows? You know, it's a pretty vague. He doesn't say anything about what they did or what led to that. Yeah, but, yeah.
To your point, like, that's something that can bite you.
Yeah.
You know, you did leave, and then all of a sudden you realize the grass wasn't greener on the other side.
Yeah.
Well, you just ripped them apart online. Hey, can I come back? It's like, we saw what you put. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you want to?
Mm-hmm.
And some of these, too, like this, hate them, don't care about their drivers, lie to you to come. Some of that, like, that's commonplace in the industry. So, like, those, I don't even know that, like, those could be very real.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I'm going to take I would take more seriously, if you're trying to help other people by this versus a lashing out, a 2 or a 3 star with more developed thoughts in the review.
Right. Yes.
Or maybe it is a 1 star. Maybe they did rip you off completely, which happens.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then, like, let's expound on this a little bit so people don't take it. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to take more seriously a 3 star that says they did this good and this went really poorly.
Right. Yeah. Somewhat objective, trying to give them a pro and a con. That's going to be worth. Yeah, if you're trying to impact others, like we said that.
Yeah,
that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
That review got 1 like, though. It looks like
it did.
So. I mean, he impacted someone.
I did want to talk about this one that got 9 likes. It's mm-hmm. about they try to get you to come into orientation, then they flip the script, stay far, far away.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one, and this is the term, the bait and switch.
Yeah.
And does that happen? Is that a common thing?
That resonates just from what we've heard over the years. That feels like that's pretty common.
Really?
Yeah. We do everything in our power to not give any hint or feeling of that. Mm-hmm. Like one small example, sometimes when we're really growing and mm-hmm. we're like our poor shop, we're stressing them out, bringing on 10 drivers every week.
Yeah.
There have been a few times in the past, the shop's done an amazing job. There's been a few times where like the driver's truck maybe wasn't ready on Thursday mm-hmm. to move in like it normally would be, and it was going to be Friday or something.
Yeah.
Like we'll go above and beyond, like out of our way to make sure that driver knows just waiting an extra day for their truck is like, it's a good sign actually because we're so busy. We'll try to let them know that ahead of time, even before they start. Hey, just so you know, we got 10 drivers coming on this week. You're one of those 10. It's possible that your truck might not be ready until a day later. Just know we're going to have a truck for you.
Yeah.
But like that, we go above and beyond to try to get away from any sort of hint of bait and switch because it is so real. And like one of the examples is equipment. They'll get there and they'll be like, yeah, I got through orientation and then I sat for 2 weeks so they didn't have a truck. So like that is that's been a very common one, at least in years past. I just remember hearing that a lot.
Mm.
Or the job they were hired for all of a sudden doesn't exist. When they get there, it's like they hired me for a dedicated run. All of a sudden they didn't have that. But hey, we actually have this. So I do think that's pretty valid. I also think there's times where drivers don't listen very well during those hire conversations. Mm-hmm. Part of that's because they're talking to a lot of different companies and they can mix up some of the data sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Maybe you told me this. Well, no, that was somebody else.
You said I could bring my Cougar, but...
Yeah. They flipped the script on me.
Yeah.
So, like, that happens too, but I do think that could very easily be a very valid one. And, the fact that it got 9 likes, obviously people are resonating.
Resonate.
Like, okay, that's happened.
Yeah, it does.
Well, and a thing for us to remember... Me, probably in particular, I'm honestly out of the group, I'm probably the worst at this, is that like if somebody comes in and they do get upset about something that's seemingly small, like, oh, I've got to wait an extra day for my truck. Well, we're going to put you in a hotel room again, like paid for, or I don't know, something else that seems really minor. Or we've had people before that maybe their second paycheck gets screwed up and they call in and they go down the line, you know, between us, accounting, like just ripping people a new one. It gets fixed very quickly and very simply.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a guy tell me one time, like, yeah, I've never had anybody fix something that quick or it be that easy to get it fixed and apologize for screaming at everybody, but that's what it took to get it fixed at other companies.
Sure.
Burned before.
Yeah. So in my mind, I like something happens small and I'm like, what the heck is this person's problem? Like this, in the grand scheme of things, this isn't a big deal. But if they've been to 3 of these companies before that did that on a large scale, like that minor thing that happened here.
Alarm bells started going off.
Yeah, it'll be a big deal to them.
Same old hat.
Yeah,
Or song and dance.
Yep. So it's easy to jump to like, okay, what's this person's problem? When it's like, no, their background history, everything else, like, oh, this is a big deal in their eyes. And so trying to accommodate that, work through it, and help them.
Yeah. I do appreciate how I walk by recruiting and hear you saying, well, this is something that is not so great. Like, paraphrasing, this is something that you should expect not to be the best. And I appreciate when you point out the bad stuff, too.
Yep.
It gives you a more serious picture. So when you come in, you're not expecting everything to be glorious.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's easy to, like, our model, we wouldn't even benefit by lying to someone or trying. I mean, they're going to come and find out in 2 weeks and then quit. That looks pretty bad on the recruiting department. I mean, it doesn't look, people understand if it happens every now and then, but if 40% of our drivers are leaving 2 weeks in. But some companies don't necessarily operate like that. Like, they might be incentivized in some ways to just get as many new drivers in the door and not necessarily care if they have to leave pretty quick because it wasn't.
Yeah, it's a business model.
Yeah. Whether it's some sort of government incentive to get people their CDLs and just get as many as you can. Yeah. I don't know what all exists in that realm. But with our model, it's just like, man, we want to be brutally honest because if this is not the right fit for you, we don't for your sake and ours, we don't even want to give it a try.
Well, and the crazy thing is for drivers, taking what somebody says if they give you a negative, mm-hmm. right? Like most people mm-hmm. don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. If they give you a negative or something you perceive as a negative, take it at face value, what they told you. Because mm-hmm. we've had that before where there's one in particular I'm thinking of. Here's the home time. Guy had some custody things going on. Well, no, that's fine. If I don't get home by this time on Friday, my sister will take my kids, okay. all that stuff. Everything will work out fine. So we go over it like three times, right?
Because you're telling them, hey, you probably won't get home on Friday. I mean, it could be Saturday.
This could
you
be
might
completely
miss
random.
The weekend.
Mm-hmm. Totally fine. We've got it figured out. Are you sure? Yes. Well, these various companies, right? There's 500,000 trucking companies in mm-hmm. the United States. You might have a recruiter tell you something. You get in. Now you're buddies with your driver manager, and driver manager's going to make it work out for you. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So, like in this case, this guy, 2-3 weeks after, hey, listen, like I'm not getting home on Fridays at this time. That kind of sounds exactly what I told you would happen. Mm. You're right. It does. Like, okay, this is a new one. Like, where are we going with this? I just thought it'd be different when I got here.
Yeah.
Why would you? I told you something bad. Why would you think right. it'd be different than that? Yeah. Why would? Yeah.
Yeah. So
I
thought you'd work with
and
me.
Yeah.
I think that is a human thing to do, and I feel like I've done that for different things. Like,
sure.
Oh, when
sure,
I get sure. into this, it's gonna be different. Like I can.
Sure.
I can change this. And
yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah.
Try.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah. So, what are some things that you look for when a driver is calling in about a job?
Well, we'll start with the golden egg, right? Like we
are they the best? Do they say they're the best?
Do they say
are they really the best?
As long as they know they're the best.
If they've asked everybody, and they all agree.
If it's 24 karat, it'll take them.
No, we humility. Humility. Are they right? Like it's all the our job. I feel like a robot could do if mm-hmm. it was just on paper, mm-hmm. right? Do you meet these qualifications? Can we bring you in? Great. It's all the nuanced personality things.
Mm-hmm.
You get some guy, he responds well to things. Then there's something that you're like, okay, that was off. Is this guy going to be a jerk when he's here? Or girl, mm-hmm. you know, we've had that before too, at a mm-hmm. road rage incident with a lady. That you can't tell that on the phone, mm-hmm. right? But looking for that. So and then fake humility and some of those things too. Like you get people that like, oh yeah, I'm super easy to get along with, I'm laid back. And it's like, well, why'd these three other companies say they wouldn't rehire you and there was issues when you left? Well, yeah, you know, because of this, kind of a misunderstanding or kind of this and like kind of a bit, you get these kind of sales tactics mm-hmm. on, and it's like, no, this isn't going to work. And we miss some of those too sometimes, yeah. right? Diamond Dave. There was a guy that, had a couple, got in a fist fight with a driver manager like 20 years
wow.
before. It's like, well, this is 20 years ago. Dude's in his 60s now. You know, what did you learn from these things? This is, yeah, I learned I got to watch my. He did not. He came here. He's in his 60s. You thought, okay, he's a little mellow now. He's not. You know, he left the company on bad terms and things like that.
Oh,
so it's trying to figure out these. I would say that's the biggest thing. The mm-hmm. nuanced personality.
Yep.
Will they fit?
Yeah.
Will what we offer fit their life mm-hmm. too? Because those are going to be the things that determine whether they're going to be here for a long time or not.
Yeah.
Some of them are easier to catch than others too.
Yeah.
One thing I would say just. One of those examples, like an owner-operator, for mm-hmm. example, that's been driving for 20 years, has a clean record, mm-hmm. probably can do it in his sleep. Like that guy on paper is like the perfect hire, mm-hmm. but you know they're used to running their own way.
And they
like
pick their roads.
Yeah, they've chosen their freight. They can keep their truck exactly how they want. They mm-hmm. can fuel up where they want, all this different stuff. So that doesn't mean they can't come here and be a good fit. But it's like really trying to figure out, like just hone in on that in that conversation. Like, will they like it here?
Mm.
And a lot of times they'll say, I mean, sometimes they're really honest and that's really helpful. And they'll say things like, oh, I would hate that. And it's like, okay, you realize pretty quick, maybe this isn't the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people say all the right things.
Right.
And sometimes that leads to great hires. And other times it's like, well, they were saying the right things. What did we miss within that? Because it didn't translate to that. Here.
Yeah.
So. It's the nuanced stuff for sure.
Yeah.
You get somebody you think you're taking a chance on and you know, they get here and they're the best driver you've ever had. They're here for 7 years. So it's right.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Yeah. You really have to read into it, and you're never going to know the whole situation. And that's a cool thing I see with your skills. Empathy. You have a lot of, like, or understanding, like, seeing the emotional perspective of things, too, that a robot couldn't do, is you can read into the person and seeing, like, okay, well, will this home time actually be an issue, and trying to help them out with that. From the driver perspective, when they're looking for a company and it seems to be too good to be true, is there a thing as too good to be true? And what should a driver look for from the driver perspective in a company?
There's probably, I mean, there definitely are. Most companies are only going to put good stuff out there online. So a lot of things that drivers would see that seem really good very well could not be true. But it doesn't mean that if you see really good things that it isn't true. So I think that's where the research thing comes into play. So if you're a driver, like, just assume that just about any recruiter you talk to is going to tell you the good. Hopefully you get a hold of a truly good company and they'll tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly. But just know that you're probably going to hear mostly good stuff. It's probably what you're going to see on their website. Every company has the best culture, right? I mean, we fully believe that and live that here, but a lot of other companies think that too. You know, so as a driver, you're hearing that everywhere. Doesn't mean it's not true, but again, just knowing that that's what's going to be presented. So research is key. If you can, I think one of the reviews actually maybe mentioned this that you had had, but talking to other drivers, if you can talk to one, a driver that actually works there, great, especially if it's a smaller company. If it's five, you know, 300-400 drivers, one driver's opinion is probably going to be relatively applicable. If it's a mega carrier, then, I mean, it could be a totally different night and day depending on which terminal you're driving for, what the position is. So try to talk to the drivers, but then again, just the the online research reviews, there's four or five good sources that they should be checking to find that. And then also just Googling a company and then seeing what comes up. If they've won any sort of awards or been recognized for things, you'll find that. If they're, if you can't find anything on them, and you know there's one Google review and it's questionable, and like you like, then maybe you want to go there in person, like go meet them in person, see if they're willing to take you, show you around the place. Even if it's a little out of your way, it's probably going to be worth it to you. Because, it's just it's just a waste of time to go there and find out it wasn't true.
Or they're just starting out and trying to get their stride.
A red flag, I would say, is a recruiter that's not wanting to talk through a whole lot. You know, they say, hey, let's get your app in here just so I can run your backgrounds, run it, or maybe not even run much, one report or two. Okay, here's how. This is what orientation is going to be. We'll get you a Greyhound bus ticket, get you here on this day. Because that's not, I mean, that might be, you know, being a little bit dramatic, but like there are companies that their process is to get a lot of people, a lot of bodies in the door for orientation, and then as the week goes, kind of weed it down, whether it's through running background reports or, you know, actually presenting the jobs, finding out people's skills, and then by the end of the week they know who they want to keep. Whereas if we might have five drivers in orientation, we're fully expecting all five of them to be starting with us at the end of the week. Versus, I mean, I've literally sat at a conference with a lot of people around the table and just like, we'll have 50 people in orientation, we might keep 10. That sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I would call that a red flag. That doesn't mean that company couldn't still be good, but, like, that would make me a little – if they're just trying to hurry up and get me in the door.
And it's, like, from the driver perspective, you don't want to be just tossed to the side. Like, you want to be taken seriously with everything that you're doing. So, that's good. Great. So, when you – get people coming back, you know, you hired them, and I assume there's some feedback that they give, stuff that's going well, if everything's, or I think you do a 1 month, 6 month check-in, callbacks.
Actually, we changed the, we changed the schedule on those.
Was it like 15, like, or like three weeks and six weeks or something?
Maybe, eight.
It's an automated thing, so it makes it pretty easy for us. It just comes in, but two touches in the first 3 months, basically.
That's awesome. So you're able to call, get some feedback. Do you, are you able to act on that feedback? What is some of the feedback that you've gotten from drivers? Just what you were told, what they were told as a, from a recruiter, and then what it's been like.
I think overwhelmingly it's good. You know, we get a lot of, this is great. Even before hire, you get, you hear a lot of, wow, nobody's ever gone through that much stuff with me before. But yeah, post-hire, you get a lot of, no, it's exactly what I was told, or wow, this is great. You know, guys have been driving a long time. Yeah, I wish I would have found this place 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that's great to hear. There are instances, though, where maybe something's not going so good. Mm-hmm. We've had a string lately on trainees where it seems like, you know, we kind of go through the process in the beginning and something's not going so well once they're here, whether it's, oh, I just didn't know the
lifestyle just really hit harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to, or whatever.
And some of those things, like a lifestyle thing, we can't do anything about.
Right.
But then you get one too. I had a lady, gosh, this would have been a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I think it was in the ramp up call where she goes, yeah, my home time's just really been bad. And we can look at that, right? Like we can pull it up in Drex. We can see exactly what your home time has been. 9 times out of 10, when a driver tells me that, it's going to be more than what they perceived it to be. Mm-hmm. You go in, you look at the hours, and you go, no, like, well, actually, did you know you averaged this much, and here's this, and you go, oh, it didn't feel like that, or something
sure,
like that.
Sure, yeah.
In this case, I was thinking, oh, okay, probably the same. Pull it up, and it was bad. Like, it was really bad. And I'm like, man, this is not what we tell them. And I know operations is capable of something different.
Yeah.
And these are the situations that I think are great. And really what the ramp-up calls are for is because now we can reach out to ops and kindly just say, hey, like, here's some screenshots. Like, this is what's going on. It's not a, you know, this driver's calling in to rat you guys out or anything. No, yeah. I called them. This was for the ramp-up. Mm. They love everything, but here's one thing that, you know, is there anything? Is there any way we can maybe put a focus here and see if we can get this better?
Yeah.
And like in that case, yeah, got it turned around. They're like, yeah, we've got our eyes on her. It was a lady driver, and got that fixed.
Yeah.
So in her case,
it's awesome.
She needed that average home time that we sell to make her dad meals for the week while she's gone. And so it's something like that. That it's like, okay, no, like she's just asking for what we said we'd give her.
Yeah.
So here's a point where, great, kind of an inflection point where now we can make a difference here.
Yeah, that's great. And it is nice. It doesn't always feel nice when someone brings that out. Hey, you said this. Can you follow through on this? I've had that happen with me for different things. With someone bringing back an email, I said, like, hey, you said you would do this, and you didn't do that. So it's nice.
I was hacked.
Yeah. That wasn't me. It was someone else. Dayton Jr.
I was
right
in Dumbled.
Yeah, right in Dumbled. Yeah, that's good. Any other stuff coming to mind when you get feedback from drivers?
I think some of the – oh, sorry.
No. Go, go for it.
No, I was just going to say, sometimes personalities don't match. Where sometimes you get a – right? Like, everybody's got a different personality. So you have a wide range of personalities with driver managers, wide range of personalities with drivers. You'll get a driver that you hire that loves their driver manager. You hire somebody 2 weeks later, goes with the same driver manager, hates them.
Or doesn't prefer them as strongly.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Hates
but
a strong word.
Just this polar opposite, and excuse me, maybe it's not that anybody, like, driver manager could be doing everything just fine how they normally do. It's perceived different because of a personality type. And so it's okay trying to get to the root of that, talking to some, you know, some of the managers and ops, and sometimes it just could be a switch of who they're working with. Just simply because, and maybe it's not even, you know, it could be maybe the driver manager, or not the driver manager, the driver's got some sort of quirk or something that it's like, hey, this other driver manager handles quirks like that better.
Yeah.
So great.
Not to get too into the weeds on that, but it's a good point, because that I think that's been good for us to see in the recruiting department, because when we hire a driver, we've invested a lot of time in them. We feel directly responsible for them.
Yeah.
We almost like protective over them, and so we want to know they're being taken care of. And every now and then you get a call like that where it's like, yeah, from the driver's perspective, it sounds like to us that maybe the driver manager isn't doing that great of a job taking care of them. And so then it can be easy to start telling yourself stories and think like, yeah, they don't care or whatever. And then you talk to a driver one of the other drivers on their board and like, this is the best driver manager ever. Mm-hmm. I've been driving for 20 years. I've never had someone that works with me so well. Hmm. So it's been good to learn that. Like, it really is a lot of it. It's the personality.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when they pair driver managers and drivers over there, mm-hmm. there's probably some strategy that goes into that.
Yeah.
And it's not, they don't want to switch people around all the time, but I think Nussbaum is good about recognizing if there really is a strong pain point and both people are sincere, okay, maybe it's worth making a move.
Yeah.
To keep both people happy and doing well and trying to work through
it's
that.
It's not a place where you can, you get drivers sometimes that call in that like, yeah, I fired my last driver manager, switched to a different one. Like,
how?
That's not going to happen. Like, you're like, I don't like him, give me a next one.
Hold on,
what's going on here? So I think it's helped too with Brendan's role over the last couple of years. Just like reviews, right? Like when you're talking to a driver for a ramp up call, you're getting their review. It's just, it's just audio.
Yeah,
so
not on Google.
Now going, hey, here's a circumstance or something that happened that got brought up. Mm-hmm. Maybe taking that to Brendan or the driver manager or something. And it's like, well, yeah, here's the other 50% of that story. Ah, okay. Yeah. All right. So maybe it's just a conversation that happens going, is this really what happened or took place or not? Or
almost always two sides. Yeah. Maybe more.
Yeah.
Sometimes three.
Yeah.
I like how I use the four sides to something. That's called a dice.
Okay.
Hear me out on this. Hear me out on
this. 6-5.
Okay. Guys, you guys are out of control.
Poor Dayton.
What'd CJ say? Wild and crazy, guys.
I like how you pointed out the hiring manager is kind of protective over their driver. And that initial time is really big when you first contact with someone for anything. First walk in the door of any building, the person that greets you, like you always remember that initial conversation, interaction. So the rest of their time, so I like how you're able to, and during Certified Red, they always point out, it's like, oh yeah, you know, so-and-so hired me.
Yep.
And that's awesome.
Yep.
And I think that's a really cool thing, how it's not just a recruiting, get you in the door, but it's the entire process. How can we make this satisfactory.
Yeah. Stick with you. Yeah, we're not just to hire you and move on to the next driver mentality. So.
Yeah, try and build a relationship. And I'm probably the worst one at that. CJ and Lisa do a tremendous job of even keeping those connections after the hire. Mm-hmm. So I will talk to hires and things after they're here. But if it's not somebody that's like actively coming back to my desk, then there's times where I can lose that, and I feel like they do a tremendous job of keeping that and probably perpetuating it longer than I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have your drivers, too, though. I mean, you definitely have ones that you just, for whatever reason, maybe it's the personality things, or they come seek you out. And
It's great. So we're ready to land this plane.
Oh, wow.
Crash landing, crash landing. it's been really great. I really enjoyed it. Something we like to talk about on the podcast is, what does it mean to be purpose-driven? So if you can give me a little definition to you, what does that mean? And then how can you be purpose-driven? How can we be purpose-driven in trucking and for your job specifically? So what is it and how can you do it?
Yeah, I would say purpose-driven for me just means basically having a why behind what you're doing. And knowing what that why is, and then like leaning into it and trying to actually live it out, versus just, we're a trucking company that wants to make as much money on the bottom line as we can, and I'm here from 7 to 4:30 to pay for my house. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a why behind. Obviously, one why is we do need money. That's why we come to work. Yeah. Ultimately, is
for
we gotta,
sure.
You know, life costs money. Mm-hmm. But then beyond that, there should be other whys. And that's what's great about Nussbaum is a big one is, positively impacting people.
Yeah.
I love starting just with the view that this is a business that we've been given. You know, it's God's and we're just stewards of it. Mm. And then that really just, there's just a lot. You want to make it better than when you found it.
Yeah.
You want to do the best you can in your 10 square feet, whatever, where you sit. And then that, indirectly impacts the whole company.
Yeah.
So on the recruiting end, it's like, it's pretty exciting to hire people to come work for this company, to work with this company, because we know how good it is here. Mm. Like, it's a good feeling to bring someone into a company that you truly know is going to keep trying to positively impact them. So that's fun, being on the front end and bringing people in the door
to become a part of that and to then grow that and spread it. So I don't know if that made any sense at all.
That makes a ton of sense.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Sounded great.
Thanks.
Yeah, sounded great.
I don't remember what I said.
No, I think for me, it's I think the nice thing about us being faith oriented is that you can, like Joe said, like if we were just trying to rip people off or hire as many people as possible, or like I'm not going to do that. Like I'm not going to sit here and do that every day and get paid to do it. Mm-hmm. So it's nice, like as a Bible believer, you know, trying to keep that same purpose in your day to day here. And so even if it's not right, like there's the nuts and bolts of like what we do here. As far as like, yeah, we need to have drivers and trucks have to move and we got to make money, right, and things like that. But people is what drives all of that. Mm. And so, like, this seems like an eloquent answer to something that I admittedly have been terrible at. Probably for, I mean, even I started here in, I think, 15. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, just like having a growing family, stuff like that, a lot of things were, no, this is about me and how good can I do things and fast and all that versus the people side. And there's a guy I was talking to today. He would know who he was if he was listening to this, but talk about just some health things going on and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, yeah, we got to, you know, get this figured out so you're here for a long time. Well, yeah, till I retire at least. I'm like, dude, I don't, like, I'm not talking about working here. I mean, like, you in life in general. Yeah. I like having you around. Mm. And so trying to have that mentality of just, like, it's people, right? Like, at the end of the day, you know, 20 years from now, like, really, who right. cares how much money we made, right, how many miles we traveled and right. all this? Mm-hmm. Like, no, how are your kids and how is your health and how's your spiritual walk? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, like, admittedly, that's something that, like, really has just probably in the last year been something that, like, wow, like, this is an area I need to get better at.
Yeah.
And, so, yeah, I think that would be how we... purpose driven to me anyways.
That's really good. I love both of your answers. I mean, I think that's great seeing that people side of things, focusing on, you know, the people we're interacting with and being stewards of what God's given us for a mm-hmm. season. So
yep.
Well, I have some hot takes. Would you want to do some hot takes?
I like hot takes. Okay. I don't even know what they are.
So hot take is something that's a controversial statement. This is just a fun way to wrap up the podcast. So we got a couple. I'm going to share them, and you can disagree or agree with it if you choose. First one is coffee is overrated. Get that coffee out of here.
Oh, man.
What do you say?
Them's fighting words. Khalib, you're not a huge
well, I drinker. Like, I'm to the point I'm addicted to it. I would say yes, it's probably overrated, but like
I forgot.
Okay. I still like
it. You weren't drinking anymore.
Well, I go on, you know, it's like
yeah.
It goes up
a roller coaster kind of.
So I like coffee, but I mean, I could, like, I don't know, I'd propose cider.
Sure.
Is maybe even better.
Yeah,
okay. Love apple cider. I just realized they have the spice cider packets out in the break room now. Just now saw them today for the first time.
Coffee's interesting, right? Like, it's caffeine's a drug. Mm-hmm. So I think we've talked about this before. Like, I've heard sermons where pastors are like, break the chains, stop smoking, all this. And like, thank God we've got 12 flavors of coffee out. And you're like, what is happening? Like, so yeah, I'd say probably.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. Got more than you bargained.
Right. We're in for a good show.
That happens a lot.
I like that. So coffee is appropriately rated. It's not overrated or underrated. Yeah. You think it's?
Yeah. I'm trying to cut back. I've realized lately, like, it doesn't even do that much. I don't even feel the effects, and I just think I'm drinking it because I'm so used to it.
Sure.
Like, it's just, I like one cup of coffee in the morning. Like, yeah. I really enjoy that, and I like the act of it. But I think then following four cups that I typically would do are just out of habit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm even liking it. So I'm trying to cut back.
Yeah.
More tea, more cider.
Like, yeah. Those keys on fire.
Yeah.
Everyone should eat a burger with a knife and fork.
It's completely false.
Yeah,
what is that?
You make them up?
A mix of that and ChatGPT.
That's great.
I'm picturing this now. I kind of actually want to try it now.
So,
like, it's part of the experience. But I'm like,
I can get on board cutting the burger in half.
Sure.
Because then you can get the corner of your mouth. Because, like, the most annoying thing of a burger is it's, like, all circular.
Yeah.
And there's always, like, the sauce coming out the side. So if you cut it in half, you can eat the corner and avoid that. I don't know about...
I think we should go out to lunch and try this now.
We should. Red Robin's?
Knife and fork, which closed, unfortunately.
Yeah. It is?
I think so. The normal one.
Mm.
It's sad.
It's tough to be right next to Chick-fil-A.
Wrong. It is. They just use that parking lot to get into Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. That had to be annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, so we're saying that is false.
False, but we're going to give it a whirl.
All right, next time.
Worth a try.
Last one, e-books are better than paper.
Ooh, false. This one hits home.
Yeah, it's, well, okay, sorry, yeah.
Well,
totally true.
No, I was going to say, our truck driver's best book is only, you can only buy it on like a, no, sorry, I'm thinking audio. You know what, just pretend I didn't talk the last 10 seconds. What were you saying?
Yeah, no, paper. You got to have it in your hand. I just got an e-book. I just so got dumb. A book on Kindle because I'm like, oh, it's cheaper, right?
Right.
Like, oh, $4 and they give you little deals and whatever instead of 14. No, there's something about having a book in your hand.
Yeah,
agreed.
And not a Kindle.
I definitely agree with that.
But I guess the same thing.
Right.
It's still an e-book version.
That's what I'm, to me it seems like.
Yeah.
Something you can feel and flip and they smell good too.
Yeah, you can write in it.
Well, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah. No, definitely agreed. When I read that, I thought it was audio is better than paper.
So maybe there's a truck driver's best audiobook coming.
Well, we need to. We need to because we're trying to help truck drivers who are driving all the time. So that's where my mind went.
Yeah, and I would put like audio and paper right there next to each other. Ebooks is a solid third, though, I
just
think.
Not, it doesn't serve very
convenient, but.
So it's great that we made ours an ebook.
Lots to think about.
Lots to think about.
Things that make you go,
I threw that one in there just because the ebook and.
You did it on purpose, I think.
Yeah, kind of a curveball.
No, that was well played.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to share?
I don't think so. I appreciate this, though. I think it's a really neat idea. I'll be really excited to hear your other versions of this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got them lined up.
So, yeah.
So,
I just enjoy the conversation.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Talk.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. This is Caleb from Nussbaum Recruiting, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit nussbaumjobs.com. Hope to talk to you soon. You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into the conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.